Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
8:23, I'm Howard Philbin. Thank you for joining us. Life in Israel just goes back to normal, or does it? Is it even possible? How do you go back to normal after what Israel has been through? The terrible loss of life, the terrible loss of property, hundreds and hundreds of people having lost their homes. What does all of this mean? What help is provided to them? Jonathan Feldstein, good morning, founder of Genesis 123 Foundation. How are you?
Provoked by your question, what is normal, Howard? What even is normal?
Yeah, this is the question. In Israel, there's no such thing, certainly. Maybe nowhere is there such a thing. But either way, are you just going back to 13 days ago? Are you able to? Not that that was normal either.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Yes and no. First of all, I don't trust it. And even though I think the dynamic of this supposed ceasefire is somewhat different than just an agreement that's signed. For a lot of reasons, the Ayatollahs probably needed to do this in order to somehow protect themselves and maintain their control. So I get that, and it's probably not in their interest to mess around too much, although overnight some drones were fired as well. We try to get back to normal. You know this, schools are open again. People are going to work again. The airport is opening again. So on that level, it's normal. But I don't know that for the foreseeable future, if ever, we're going to not be looking over our shoulder, so to speak, waiting for something else to start up again. And we have to recognize that the normal that you're asking about included reports today of 7 soldiers being killed in Gaza. Unfortunately, that is our normal as well. And all eyes will be on Gaza as we continue to conduct the war against Hamas there.
Right. So the fact is that Israeli society is expected to kind of go back to whatever was. What happens to the people who have lost their homes? Does the state cover that? Does they normal? What is the story?
That's an excellent question. I think I wrote about it in one of my articles. We've taken out extra insurance in the event that our home is hit by a missile. So no, that is not something that's automatically covered. I don't know what happens. It's a very good question that I need to follow up with for people who have been displaced. As of now, some 9,000 people whose homes were damaged enough or completely destroyed. And the other day I went to one of the hotels that now has about 10% of the total number of people, bringing toys and games and activities for the kids as part of a new campaign that we're doing at Genesis123.co. And that was met with tremendous appreciation, even from the Minister of Social Welfare. But these people are stuck. They have nowhere to go. Their homes are destroyed. In many cases, they've left with nothing. There was one terrible situation of a woman crying uncontrollably because she didn't have baby formula for her kid. And I don't understand that. I said to the organizer, if we're providing food for children and adults, why are we not providing baby formula for 100%. Mothers? It makes no sense.
Right.
But so we don't know what the state is doing, and it's all still very new. Maybe the state will step up, but right now there's a lot of trauma, and I don't know how these homes will be rebuilt, who will be responsible, at what cost, where they will go. You know, now is the beginning of the summer vacation. It's not the end of the world to spend your summer in a hotel when there are no tourists, but in 3 months from now, in September 1st, the school year begins. Where will these children be, and what framework and what sense of normalcy, and where will they be put?
And we
many,
know,
many more questions now than there are answers.
We know how the people that were moved from or were relocated from the south and the north struggled after a while. In the beginning, it's obviously it's a bit of a novelty, and it's a way to just get over the immediate trauma. But after that, it becomes problematic. We're not designed, and kids in particular are not designed to live in that environment. I just wonder about people that were paying rent. You know, they're paying rent, the building's destroyed. Obviously, I'm assuming that that contract's cancelled because they can no longer provide the apartment, but the owner's now losing, you know, valuable income.
Exactly.
There's so many aspects here and I do understand that during the last 12 days, the focus was just surviving. The focus was emergency services, moving people, keeping people safe. But now that Israel can take a step forward, these are, to me, the questions that will impact Israeli society significantly if people aren't felt that they're taken care of.
Correct. And these are good questions, and I'm glad you're asking them, because I think I'm sure people here are, but I don't know who is, and I haven't heard the questions, but it'll provoke me going back to the hotels as we can continue to bring more toys and games and activities for the kids, and I'll be doing that again tomorrow. And thank God, a lot of people are stepping up and donating, and we're talking about some things that are even bigger, which is remarkable. But these are good questions to ask, and when I do, I'll let you know.
Please.
And we can have the conversation.
That will be
great.
You're
right. If you're renting, if you were renting, you know you're homeless. And if you have no more belongings, nothing, not even your kid's favorite stuffed animal, that's even more traumatic. But if you're the landlord and expecting that rent to make a living, then you now potentially double the impact economically and in terms of the trauma and bank loans, because we're not in active combat anymore, won't be forgiven the same way banks were saying, we can defer your payments for 90 or 120 days. That's going to become an additional tremendous social and economic tension here.
That is where we leave it. We're going to get Jonathan back once he's done his research for us. He's going to go scouting. He's going to go to the hotels. He's going to meet everybody there and to try and get some of those answers for us. That's Jonathan Feldstein, founder of Genesis 123 Foundation, talking about how Israel moves towards a new normal.